Okay, come on. I breathed. Okay, come on, guys.
All right,
guys.
One more time. My name's Sean Collier. There's Aaron Kleiber.
Hi, friends.
Here's other people. Here's Missy Marino.
Doo-doo-doo-doo-doo. I'm loving me.
Here's what? Jason Clark.
Hello, everybody.
It's a joint episode of You Can't Handle the Truth and Grown Dad Business.
Crossover.
It's a crossover mashup.
We
did the mash. We did the podcast mash.
This is going to be a mess.
It's going to be, yeah. To talk about Rogue One, a Star Wars story, this week on both You Can't Handle the Truth and
Grown Dad Business.
And now, it's You Can't Handle the Truth. Honest reviews of the newest movies. Part of the Epicast Network. Hear more great podcasts at epicast.tv.
And it is You Can't Handle the Truth for Tuesday or
Who
Wednesday.
Cares? It's coming out immediately.
Sometime
ASAP.
The week before Christmas. Yeah. Late in your Advent calendar.
Is Wednesday the 21st?
No.
Yeah, something like
yes.
that.
Yes.
Thursday
and.
The 22nd?
Second.
Yep.
What Advent gift is it today?
Paper.
Myrrh? Is it myrrh?
Yeah, paper myrrh.
No, you know what the gift is? Rogue One.
Thank you.
That is correct.
Here's who dies. Just kidding.
No.
I'm kidding.
That's an excellent point. We are going to, after the break, you know, eventually you're going to hear all of us plug our stuff.
Yeah,
and then
a lot
you're
of that.
And then you're going to hear an ad for another show on the Epicast Network
that's
other
right.
than these two. You're
That's
listening
right.
to two podcasts at once because it's the future.
It's like Inception.
You're going to hear that ad. And
AKA
after,
Doctor Strange.
After that break.
Inside.
After that break, we will spoil everything. Until then, no spoilers. So if you haven't seen Rogue One yet, I don't know who you are because it made $155 million. Mm. But if you haven't seen it yet, you're safe until the break. And then turn on.
What did you say opening weekend was?
$155 million.
I just read an article that
it
just put Disney as
not low.
$7 billion global. It's like Disney is now through the stratosphere.
That's low.
Owes.
Shouldn't it be like $250 million?
No. Well, what was Force Awakens?
I should read the article. Better.
Force Awakens was like $350 million.
Not in its
opening weekend.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Aaron is very twisted on how many movie theaters there are in the world.
Look, you know.
He's talking about everything.
I've been traveling all day long. I got up at 3:30 in the morning in Los Angeles, okay? No, we have to say we're gonna spoil this movie in the second half because
yes.
Missy's like that Kristen Wiig character was like,
oh
yes. God.
I've already crashed into their drum set over in the corner.
She ran through the Epiquest wall.
What is it called? Ant what?
Oh,
yes. Lord.
Yep.
I brought wore my
Jabba the Hutt was
sweater.
Choked by Carrie Fisher. Oh my God, I'm sorry.
Yes.
By the way, if I just spoiled Return of the Jedi for you, F you.
Yes.
Yeah. Sorry.
Go home.
Yeah. I don't think you're listening to any movie podcast.
Guess what? Kevin's parents come back for him at the end. Boom. I spoiled Home Alone. We should do Spoiled, the podcast.
Home Alone 2, the Wet Bandits, they come back and they
sticky
become
bandits.
The Sticky Bandits.
Dude, I watched that while I was in New York, if we're name dropping. And that I went home and took a bath in
Dormont. How do you name drop a city?
You name dropped a city?
Guys, I don't know if you checked out my calendar. I was in Calgary last week. Boom, dropped.
Hey, guess who did their laundry in Dormont last night? Not this guy, because I wear stinky clothes.
But
anyways.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, yes. Force Awakens made $248 million its opening weekend.
That was close, Clive.
But
it was high.
But 155 is good for top three or four all time.
We were really waiting for Force Awakens.
Yeah,
people were really waiting. For
bit
that.
Of a different.
I mean, I asked the same question as somebody else though, because they were like, "There's no way it's going to touch that movie as far as money goes." And we just got into a discussion of like, "Well, why would that be?" I mean, I'm a Star Wars fan. I'm going to go see this movie. Who's not going to go see it?
Like, I think the idea that it's a spinoff is enough to get casual people, not to say I'm not going to see it, but to say I'll see it when I get there, yeah, when I have a couple of days off.
I think it'll be some serious numbers over Christmas and New
Year's. Well, this is an article on USA Today 20 minutes ago, or well, whatever. Ooh. Was Rogue One propels Disney to historic $7 billion global box office mark.
For a year.
No.
For the year.
For the year.
Yeah. Okay, well, sure. But either way, that's
it's the highest. It's the highest year for any historic movie company of all time.
And that's
seven. And Sean and I talked about that last week, didn't we? We talked about Disney's
during the Moana episode.
The Moana episode.
Because they released an unbelievable number of movies this year.
Good movies.
That total has Moana, which is a huge global hit.
Did you see it?
Yeah, it's great.
Did you like it?
We did an episode on it. You can go listen to it.
I mean, I listened to all
of them. We took the kids.
I want to go so bad. Okay, go on.
Zootopia, which was an even bigger global hit.
Yeah, Zootopia.
Finding Dory, that counts Doctor Strange and Civil War.
Yeah.
Holy.
Yeah, see, I mean, it's like they have everything.
If Disney wants to buy me, I'm in. Like, I don't care if they become Jesus. Sorry, Lord, I'm not blaspheming that hard yet, but Disney, take me. Disney, take me. They're
this
wonderful.
Just in Vanity in Vanity Fair, they bought the rights to Missy Marino's saga.
And I eat dicks for breakfast.
What?
Oh, we're not supposed to.
No, we're not
that?
At that point. We're not.
Spoiler alert.
Parents, that's on the back.
Put the earbuds in. we're gonna have to put the earbuds in because Missy eats dicks for breakfast.
She's
a man eater.
I know what happened. You Can't Handle the Truth is constant, say whatever you want. Grown Dad Business is not.
Oh.
Well, we just sort of make sure that...
I mean, we do have a new segment called Son of a Bitch of the Week.
Yeah.
That's true. I guess I just went rogue one on that moment.
Jason, do we have a Son of a Bitch of the Week?
No, this is a special week.
No, we got it.
Yeah.
I think it's me because I just did that.
You son of a bitch.
You might be in the top of the running.
Oh, man.
Oh, it's definitely Will Smith because I had to watch that goddamn movie.
I haven't read your review or listened to that yet.
Go back if you didn't. Yeah, I mean, look, that was a 20-minute bonus episode on a movie that no one's going to see. That said, if you want to hear me lose my mind in the car, go back and listen to the Collateral Beauty episode.
Okay, yeah.
I mean, I'm gonna sneeze.
God bless you. Gesundheit.
Salud. Oh, this is how that
and you may
contagion,
a new hope be with you.
That's how contagion started.
We're professionals, okay? We're not gonna edit that out.
He gets off the plane and sneezes during a podcast recording, and all of a sudden, half the Eastern Seaboard is infected with some kind of LA disease.
We should sell
which
that.
Is called fashion. Click, click, click. If you guys could see my shoes, you would be going, she knows what she's talking about.
It's called basic bish.
we're doing a really bad job of talking about Star Wars.
How are we not talking about Star Wars?
Where do we begin?
I was just saying, I felt bad for Sean that he had to go see that, because Sean and I have been laughing hysterically at that Collateral Beauty trailer for months.
Yeah.
Sean, were they going for Oscar?
Yeah, but they had no idea.
Oh my God! Just
go listen to that one.
All
it's
right.
Star Wars, everybody. Let's go.
Bingo!
Snap reactions around the room, starting with Aaron.
I was able to see it, dude. This was really awesome. Our friend Scott Simmons from Scarehouse. We do an episode with Scott every year.
Yeah.
He was in L.A. This week, and I saw that he went and saw Rogue One at the El Capitan Theater in Los Angeles, and I was going to go to ArcLight, which is a big theater in L.A., and I was thinking, you know what? I've never been there. It's owned by Disney.
Oh, man.
Yeah. The theater's owned by Disney. They only show Disney movies, and so we went in. There's stormtroopers taking pictures with kids. I got a popcorn bucket, the only one in the world. They only gave it out at that theater.
Wow.
And pins specific for the theater.
Okay, so that means you totally love the movie. They got you?
Yeah. They also, no trailers. They drop the curtain. They do their little El Capitan, like a video intro on the curtains. And then the room goes dark and the Death Star siren starts going off. And there's red lights everywhere.
Snap. Hey!
It was amazing.
Wow. Amazing.
The curtain rises and there's an army of stormtroopers on stage.
Oh, shit.
And they march. This was just the noon showing on Saturday.
Right. This isn't a premiere. This is just what happens when you buy that ticket.
Yep. They do this every showing.
Wow.
They all march out through the audience. the curtain goes down, and then you just hear Darth Vader breathing, goes to black, movie starts.
Oh, snap.
Oh, yeah. And also at this theater.
That's better than Dick's for breakfast. I'm kidding. God. Okay, I'll stop.
Before the movie, they have an actual organist who's been playing there for 18 years, playing like John Williams, like all pretty much, you know, Indiana Jones, Star Wars music, and Christmas music. It was amazing.
That's honestly glorious.
Look up the El Capitan. Yeah,
it's unbelievable.
In Hollywood?
Yeah. Right. Oh, yeah, it's right. It's almost like right across from, it's next to Jimmy Kimmel's theater, across from Man's Chinese Theater. Yeah, it's amazing.
And what did you think of the film?
I thought it was really good. And I explained it to, I feel like it was Saving Private Ryan for Star Wars.
Okay.
I thought it was really good.
To Missy Marino.
I saw it in El Century Square Luxury Seminars.
El Century Square.
But it was on the Thursday night like before, which I cannot rave enough about that theater. It's the one that was like the cheapo maxi pad. I mean, maxi saver theater.
Yeah, the one that, me, Missy, Chris Prexta.
As
I mean,
children.
Oh my gosh.
Saw everything. We saw Star Wars there. And it was our whole gang, and we missed you greatly, Kliber. I mean, we saw the re-releases there back in the day.
Yeah.
So it was like Alan, Jonathan
I remember
Edwards,
going to that when they re-released
Geist,
it.
Geist, Houlihan.
When they re-released it in 96,
yep,
I believe.
And then 7.
Oh,
and
my
blah,
gosh.
Blah.
For a dollar, we went nonstop.
Nonstop.
I probably saw all of them a couple times each.
Oh, snaps, yes.
Yeah.
So they had it there, and they had stormtroopers.
Did they?
Yeah, and they had like the weird little short bad guy with a black helmet, but he was going... I was like, are you
Darth
good or
Helmet?
Bad? Because I couldn't remember.
Are
he
you talking
looked
about
like
Rick
Dark
Moranis?
Helmet. Yes, he was there. He came out of hiding for Wes Mifflin. but he was convincing me that he was good. And then I was like, oh my God, every side thinks they're good. And then I was mind blown for like an hour in the lobby by myself. But anyways, my thoughts on the movie, you ask?
So you liked it.
Yes. And I wept like a damn human baby. It was so good.
Yeah. No spoilers yet.
No spoilers
nope.
yet.
Oh. That's all I have to say.
Jason Clark.
I went and seen it during the ice storm. And I was like, we're going to do this. Because
wait, the movie The Ice Storm was showing simultaneously?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. When Pittsburgh was frozen over Saturday morning, and it was my annual traditional thing that I've started with my daughter's boyfriend.
Yeah, let's talk about that grown dad business aside real quick.
Yeah.
We're switching to grown dad business.
Bing, bing.
Yeah. When we switch over to grown dad business.
Bing, bing.
Bing, bing,
bing.
Bing,
bing.
Okay.
Yeah.
So Jason is like best friends with his daughter's boyfriend.
Yeah.
Aww.
And they went together to see Star Wars, you little sweetie pies.
Two years in a row. Same deal.
Two
then
years.
Afterwards,
now
we go get pizza together and we talk about the movie.
Was your daughter there?
No. See, that's why the boyfriend comes with me because I might have raised my kids wrong. I don't know. Neither one of them have a real interest in Star Wars at all.
Okay.
And my wife wants nothing.
In other news, Jason Clark
that.
Was fired from the Grown Dad Business podcast.
I bring other good things. So, anyways, no. So we went out and my initial reaction was it gave me everything. That movie was everything I wanted out of it. I read nothing about it, and I'm horrible.
Yeah,
I'm horrible with spoilers, Sean. I'm like, I get into them, and sometimes I get in too much. And this one, I stayed away from everything. I didn't see a preview. I didn't see anything. Nothing. And it was, to me, it just felt good. I was into it from start to finish, and it was one of those movies where halfway through it, I'm like, I just felt like I've been here for only 10 minutes. Because I was so into it. I enjoyed the movie so much.
Yeah, it did go pretty fast. It was, 2 hours and four minutes?
Just over 2 hours.
Yeah.
I thought I liked it a lot as well. It would have been great if we had one person who did not like the film in this panel of four, but there aren't that many. I thought, you know, we'll get into it more during the spoiler half, but it's great to see a Star Wars story that is not a chapter of a forever story. Mm-hmm. It's a Star Wars tale that has a beginning, middle, and end that is not meant to... Obviously, it's connected, but it doesn't end with, and then in the next movie, you know?
Right.
That it's a standalone thing. It was fun to visit that universe for just... Here's a story that we're going to tell you in this sitting. You don't have to wait 2 years to get more of it.
Yeah. I still have rips, don't mind you. Like... So, I mean, there's stuff that I definitely was like, about.
Oh,
so
yeah.
We can
we'll
get
to
that. Yeah, there definitely are a couple things where I was like, you know, whatever, you know. And there was a couple things, too, that Sean and I talked about. I don't know if it's spoilery, that you said that you did not like, and it took you out of it, and I...
Let's leave that for spoilers, and because I want to just go...
Yeah, and I meant to tell you that I did not agree with you.
You know, we'll get into it. I'll tell you right now, I've heard 50-50 on that. And like, I'll talk to two people, and every time one person will say, that pulled me straight out of the movie, and the next person will say, I can't believe how good that looked.
Without even knowing what specifically you're talking about, because we haven't talked about that, I know exactly what you're talking about. And I think that's when you're going to start hearing a difference of opinion when we start picking apart.
Yeah, I mean, if that's the one major difference of opinion, it has nothing to do with the content or quality of the movie.
Not at all.
We're all talking about her shoes, right?
Yeah, we're talking about the shoes. We'll leave that for the spoiler. Well, Missy, you're, dare I say, you might be the biggest Star Wars fan of the four of us.
Because I'm emotionally, yes. Emotionally. I'm born on May the 4th be with you, number damn one. True. So I'm born into this.
That puts you over the top. That just puts you.
So one of the only things that I would say is that as much as I, you know, I ended up giving it the same rating
are
I
you
gave.
This?
Yeah, I know. You're the only one who wore Star Wars clothes.
I have Star Wars underwear on right now.
Do
so
you? Do you?
Biggest Star Wars fan out of four of us?
I would
love to go toe-to-toe in Star Wars trivia with you.
It's not trivia doesn't garnish love. I don't know all about
I'm
going
to tell you something right now.
No, that's like, that makes me so annoyed about Star Wars fandom. It's like, just because you're alien that ate his own toenail and
I give Missy
that
credit
don't mean
because she's
love.
You are a good fan when you're a fan of something.
Yes.
And you
that's
are
true.
A great Star Wars fan.
Yeah. You turned that one around great.
Well, no, because I love you.
I love you more.
No, I would say Star Wars is in your top 10 enthusiasm.
Top three.
Topics.
What are the other two?
Jesus.
I didn't mean to laugh. I didn't mean to laugh. We both instinctively laughed at your face.
We did, and we looked at each other like, oh, no.
Missy, I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
And then Still Valet, psych. I don't know. There's
Star
three.
Wars, Jesus, and
no, comedy.
Well, no, I don't know Jesus, Star
comedy.
Wars.
Performing.
Yeah. Yeah, all right. No, musical
yeah, all
theater.
Right. The thing I do
musical
for a living,
Hamilton.
Eh, whatever.
Oh,
yeah.
What shall I choose for three? Arcade comedy theater.
There, that's a good one. Mm-hmm. But you said you were weeping in there. And the only thing I would say, it's not any less of a movie, but it did feel less epic, maybe, than The Force Awakens.
Oh, I disagree.
And if you were crying in there, I bet you feel differently.
I was like an utter mess from this one scene on. And here's this, and it was like showed me the great divide on why I've always loved Star Wars more than Star Trek, because it's like a Greek mythology all the time. It's these epic, based on, you know, Joseph Campbell's originations of like these characters that are timeless. And it doesn't go balls crazy into like wires and
it also,
stats.
Your
soul.
This also made me remember the rebellion in A New Hope.
Good Lord, honey.
This really put in perspective that it was almost like this is the Revolutionary War.
Well, and that goes with what you said about it being Saving Private Ryan. I mean, it was ultimately you're dealing with war.
Yeah,
I mean, that's what
and
this was happening.
It was like The Patriot, more the, you know, it's not when like, you know what I mean? But I mean Saving Private Ryan, the action scenes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there was a beach.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, definitely. Yeah.
Oh, settings great.
Oh,
by the way, every Star Wars movie is like, oh, these cool alien worlds, and sometimes I think it's a little overblown.
Right.
This one was the one where I was like, I love all of these places.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Everywhere we visit is different and fully realized.
Yeah.
Really
it
good.
Looked beautiful, and all everything. The aesthetic was just honestly.
And then to top
gorgeous.
It off, I mean, I think the first thing I sent to you was the score. Was
it
I mean,
was
and they're
really
always
good.
Strong. It's always strong. It's something we always walk away and you remember
well, it's
that
John Williams.
I know.
Master.
Well, I know, but I mean, there was something for me in this one that was just it tied all the emotions and what was
and
happening together for me, and it was just so prominent in this one.
I liked the new themes in this one more than I did in Force Awakens. There was pieces of music, especially like.
And by the way, that was not John Williams.
No,
I know,
it was not. I was just looking it up.
I actually disagree with everyone.
Yeah,
but
I was looking it up because
I
know it wasn't John Williams.
Name.
There was some new themes, like some of that military music was so dope.
Yeah,
I mean it was really good.
It was interesting how everything technically felt like, you know, a brother to Star Wars, but not Star Wars. There were so many little moments, like the fact that it okay, spoiler for the first 10 seconds, that it starts with a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away, but then there's no crawl. There's no
scroll. Actually, we all had a bet going into it, like people being like, will there be a scroll or not? And so it was like, cool to, that is a spoiler.
Yeah, that was
because I was like so excited to see. Yeah.
And it started a little bit different.
It did.
You know, I mean, we're not spoiling anything.
No, there's nothing to...
But that's what it was. It felt like, the fact that you never heard the real themes made it feel like this is related to Star Wars, but it's different from the main ones.
It did play some twinkles.
It had like little bits and tastes within the song that you...
But it's. I was wondering when it was time for Michael Giacchino, who did the score. He did Incredibles, which is one of the best soundtracks of all time. I mean, he's done a lot of things.
I mean, it's hard to follow up. I'm glad they went with someone else besides John. Like, just because we have to start getting used to a world without him anyways.
And if anybody is
a master.
Giacchino's a great pick.
But I don't know. Because the thing I love about Star Wars is, and I guess I'm definitely coming at it with emotional, like, investment. And it's the themes that are related to the characters. But granted, you're right, that... What I loved about this film is knowing it's isolated. We know the outcome. Like, we know we're not going to be with these characters for the rest of the journey. It's like a slice of information for something else. So we don't have to get invested in them. But I was, like, missing the fact that you don't know Jin's theme. Like, hardcore. Like, I can't sing it to you now. Mm. And I don't know. And that's always a thing that...
That's an interesting point because I didn't... This was very different than Force Awakens. And I think it was on purpose. Whereas A Force Awakens was like Rey's story.
Yes.
This was about the team.
Yes.
And it was about an incident. It wasn't necessarily about, like, and it was
interesting that it was so much different than Rey and Jin.
Which
it was,
I agree is
she
great.
She was part of the team. It was kind of neat how they did that. They made it was like, no, this is the Rebel team.
That's true.
It wasn't like this person is pushed into the, because that's Rey's story.
It's mostly... Yeah, that's true. Well, and
it was like an Ocean's 11
for
Star Wars.
Well, I'll save it for the second half because I'm starting to get into like...
Yeah.
Oh, that's a hysterical damn...
Yeah.
Not the tone, but like the story.
Yeah,
because Ocean's 11 is like, I want to do that all day. Do you guys want to go to Target later and Ocean's 11 it? That's like what I... Ocean's 4 it.
Steal what, things?
And we... Yeah. But like at night...
And But at night, Target, really holler at your boy if you want to sponsor us because we robbing your asses.
I guess the close. This isn't even a criticism. I did say these are not characters with exceptions that I'll give you. These are not characters that are as memorable as the main series characters. These felt like single serving. Now the exception, I thought Jin was great.
Yeah,
and Felicity Jones did a great job.
Yeah,
I thought it was it was really interesting that they did a great job of making that a completely different character from Rey.
Yes,
when you just introduced a young female protagonist a year ago, now you have to do another one, and it's completely distinct. She was great. Our robot friend K2SO, I loved.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, loved him. Loved it. It's just random. The guy who does the voice, and I'm like, why do we need that guy? Like, why do they?
He does good work.
Also,
Alan Tudyk.
I like him.
What?
He's hot.
Like, what was the movie where they paid Bill Hader to do?
Oh, he was in Force Awakens. He was the sounds
for BB-8.
But it's like, why?
Yeah, why?
Why did you pay Bill Hader
when you could probably just push a button?
You can get like a voice actor who's going to cost a tenth.
Maybe
of
they
that.
Think that will bring in some millennials.
I really liked Diego Luna, who played Cassian.
I was going to say overall, I love the diversity of the cast.
Yes,
like,
I agree.
I really loved.
You know, and Star Wars is one of the few. They've been always pretty good at that.
Mm-hmm.
They have.
Yeah.
Mads Mikkelsen did exactly what he does in every movie he's in. Just kind of looks serious and has a scar in his eye. But I don't know about Diego Luna, Cassian. I might have reduced his role a little bit in the film.
But he was in charge of it. Like he's in charge of intelligence.
He had like an annoying. He didn't project well, so I was always like, huh? maybe I'm a grandma now. That's a possibility. But I felt like he had so much dialogue, and it was a very subtle, quiet, some accent that made it like not articulate well enough. And I'm like, yeah. You have like a lot of info, and we know nothing about you, so we really need to understand you, son. Yeah. And that was frustrating me. But I could be totally like hearing aid alone on that one.
I really love Ben Mendelsohn. He played, you know, Orson Krennic, the main
bad guy.
Made the play the main bad guy
from Bloodline.
From Bloodline. He was in a Batman movie, I think.
Yes. He was in
Dark Knight.
Dark Knight. Yeah.
He's a really good actor, man.
Yes.
Missy, you said hello, or were you just greeting me?
I was. I just missed you.
Hi.
Okay, hi.
No, what point about Ben Mendelsohn?
Oh, no, it wasn't that. That's why I shut it, because I was like, I'm changing the subject, because I get excited about life.
Okay.
Mon Mothra.
Who's Mon Mothra?
Mm.
Did I say it wrong?
Yeah, if you saw the trailers, Mon Mothma is definitely in there.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's
Who's that?
That's white robed in charge of the rebellion.
Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
I'm just like, yay.
They did a good job of that.
On.
Right.
Yeah. And that's not a spoiler. She's in the trailer.
No. Right. If it's in the trailer, it's fine. Yeah. And before we get to the break and before we get to spoiling it, make the grown dad business crossover noise.
Pew, pew,
pew. Pew, pew.
Jason, and you messaged me to ask me if I thought it was okay for kids. I said I thought it was fine. Now that you've seen it, I don't have kids, so what the hell do I know? Do you agree?
So I think the first question we have to ask is define kids. So what we have to understand that. I mean, because
like a kid is like a human who like comes from two parents, but is it one? Or maybe it could be
smaller versions of adults.
I mean, what's the age group?
No,
I mean, what do you
do?
I mean,
descriptions of what you think.
I mean, qualifiers. I think we're at a time now where a lot of people are exposing their kids to a lot worse.
Yeah.
So it's,
and we talk about this a lot. I mean, Sean and I and Jason and I talk about this a lot. I always bring up the Marvel movies.
Yeah.
My kids have not watched a Marvel movie all the way through.
Right.
I show them scenes because I think number one, earbuds parents, there's no reason why Iron Man should be saying pussy and dick.
Right.
Yeah.
Like things, and I keep harping on that, and they're like, the Clive is such a conservative.
No,
dad.
That's not. No,
no dude.
No.
I don't want my 5-year old son walking around saying pussy and dick.
Right. And but
like
then
it's annoying.
Well, then
and what does it do to further along a story?
Oh, Sean say this all the time. Like, how does that help
story
of it?
Doesn't help at all.
So we show selected scenes. So on that, you know, I said this actually made me question about showing my little kids. 6 and 8 years old.
Yeah, I would say like I have younger kids in my family that, you know, would watch A New Hope and they love Star Wars.
Right.
But once they get to a certain point, they have to shut it down. They can't go any further. This movie, I would say, like you said, 8 or 9, there's a lot of violence that you're probably going to have to explore. It's just war.
It's war.
And don't you think would kids want to watch it that are 5? I'm like, that
you know,
doesn't seem
you're right. Because I thought exciting. As I was watching this, I was like, this is kind of boring for a 5-year-old.
Yeah.
Like, there was little kids behind me, and they were about 10 or 11.
Yeah.
And they were not paying attention.
Yeah, they were probably checked out, too.
They did not care. They were excited at first, and there were scenes that they were excited, but it was like, I was watching this thinking, like, Luke is going to be bored for a little bit.
Because think about with A New Hope, it's a slow burn at the top.
Yeah,
like
absolutely.
You're gathering info and you're
absolutely.
With the awesome, adorable droids that are colorful and speak your language.
I think the one thing that is definitely missing that first question I asked was, what's the merchandising on this one? I mean, because they're not choking you out.
Oh, it's on everything.
But no, what I'm saying though is,
little kids.
No, on that, but is there that one for the little kids that saying, I want that action figure that I have to have that?
It's the robot. It's the tall robot.
That's
robot.
It. I mean, that's it.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
There's no
so
real
true.
Action figure like, I want that
I mean,
figure.
That's how I look
like,
at it.
Dusty middle-aged guy that looks like he's upset about something.
Yeah,
the
I mean,
figure.
So
I want the drunk Japanese guy with the machine gun.
Yeah. So to answer your question.
Who, by the way, is a Seven Samurai characters.
Oh, my
God. Yeah. It's kind of awesome that there's almost, Sean and I, we talked about Seven Samurai a couple episodes
all year.
Yeah,
all year.
So, I mean, so to answer that question, I think that definitely you have to step back and sort of look at your own
Yeah.
You know, what are you opening your kid up to?
I will definitely say if your kids are watching Marvel movies, then you're fine. But, you know, I just think that, you know, I told my wife, I was like, it's kind of just war for 2 hours.
Yeah, five.
There is sad moments.
Honey.
Like a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a war movie.
It's dark.
So, you know, but also we've talked about too that it's like we're not sheltering our children from sadness or peril.
No.
I mean, you know, they need to know that stuff. And that stuff is very well done in Pixar films. You know, sadness and peril. And
you can tell it's not geared to accompany the emotional state of like a 5-year-old or even an 8-year-old.
So that's tough. It's a tough call. You know, but then again, Revenge of the Sith is brutal.
Oh, that's brutal.
I covered my kids' eyes.
Yeah.
They watched a lot of Revenge of the Sith, but, and I think I'm trying to think of Attack of the Clones, too, the Colosseum scene, too, where just people are just being
murked. Oh, you mean
murked.
When they perfectly rip her into a midriff?
But people are getting murked in that Colosseum scene.
You're like, right. And for kids, you know, it's scary. It just
Mace Windu chopping off the Jango Fett's head like a motherfucking boss.
Yeah.
Like, that's, you know, it's a little much.
That's how I classified it to the person I was asking that question on behalf. Yeah. His nephew's 9. And I said, did you watch?
Yeah, the lava scene.
And he said, he's watched that. And I'm like,
covered my kids' eyes a lot of it.
Don't worry about
it.
Here's the difference, I think, though. That
and my kids didn't see the part where he was like limbless. They didn't see that part.
Oh my God. That's hysterical to me. I'm sorry. But it feels more. It just looks more.
You know,
like
I've never
colored.
Seen that movie?
Really?
2 or 3.
I love you for that.
Wow.
I saw Phantom Menace, and then the next two came out. I was like, I don't know.
Phantom Menace is absolute garbage.
Yeah, that's trash.
But
that's the only one I can stomach.
The only
now,
thing
though.
That's even watchable is the Darth Maul scenes. And then Attack of the Clones has some pretty decent scenes.
Yeah.
The Colosseum is cool. There's some decent like battle scenes. But then Revenge of the Sith is really boring until the end.
Yeah, till the end. I mean, and as a Darth Vader fan, right. like that's. Yeah. You have to have that and see that and have that come back.
But
so.
The difference, I think, is obviously we know it's garbage on so many quadrillions of levels, but it feels cartoony. The look is very jokey and weird and like doesn't look like 4, 5, 6, and 7.
Right.
And I feel like Rogue One, the reason it would be scary if I was a kid, it looks like a damn documentary in a way. Like it looks so realistic and like so much like what is actually on our TVs right now, like regarding Syria or the Middle East in general. It just looked very real. So I think if I was a kid, I'd be like, this, oh my God, is that like real?
Well, that's the thing you have to keep in mind, sorry, is that those are all directed by George Lucas. And George Lucas, sorry, is a bad director.
Yeah, he's not. Yeah. He's not a good director.
He's you know, a creative mind, but in terms of directing a movie, he's not that good about it. I mean, now, look, he directed A New Hope, which, sure, great job. Yeah.
But he was, like, still young and pure.
But also, it's not blowing your mind as a direction.
No, and then he didn't direct another movie for 22 years. He did not direct a movie between New Hope and Phantom Menace.
Yeah.
He was not the guy to do it, and he did it, and now we're having a podcast about why the prequels were bad for the 700,000th time in the history of humanity.
But you cut it off quick, which is impressive.
And we're going to go to break after
so
after everyone, what?
No, I was just going to say, long story short, is that we're going to give it a shot. We're going to take the kids.
You know what? I think... what I was going to say, again, couldn't be farther from having children, but if your kids have already seen Star Wars movies, they can see this one too. But I think you have a good point. This one feels more like a movie that's just prepared for grown-ups, prepared to be entertainment for grown-ups, than any other Star Wars movie. So,
because even the like adorable robot is very serious.
He has an arc. He has a dramatic arc.
He has a dramatic arc. Well, oh,
and
my
you know what,
God.
Too? I mean, if you look at it, in 1983, when Return of the Jedi, I mean, everything up until Jabba the Hutt is pretty dark and scary. Yeah. I mean, it's straight up people getting murdered
and thrown into the monster.
Return of the Jedi. True.
Yeah, but you're already on board with the storyline. Yeah, yeah, yeah. No one's jumping in at one. This one, you're jumping in
yeah.
in unknown territory.
Yeah.
So, are we ready?
Before we take a break, let's quickly go around the room to plug your endeavors. There's a lot of people here, and we all do a lot of stuff. So, well, give me the short version.
If you're around Pittsburgh this week,
yes.
Jason and I have been plugging forever. Friday, December 23rd at Arcade Comedy Theater, 8 p.m., the roast of Ralphie from A Christmas Story. I'll be playing a character, and a bunch of improvisers and stand-up comedians from Pittsburgh will be playing characters roasting Ralphie in character. It's always fun. And then at 10 p.m.,
and that's going to sell out, by the way. The ticket sales on that right now are already tipping. So, when you're listening to this, if you're like, oh, they've been talking about this for a couple weeks now,
get
on arcadecomedytheater.com and get your tickets now, because it will
sell
out.
And there are some tickets left for Stand Up Get Down. Mm. 10 p.m. Stand Up Get Down, the stand-up comedy game show that's the best in the world.
Christmas Spectacular.
Mm-hmm. Christmas Spectacular.
Special some editions.
Special editions.
Special stuff.
Special sweetness. Special sauce.
A little bit on top. A little bit on top.
Every 3 days, Aaron asks me, did I book you for Stand Up Get Down? And I say, no. Do you want me? And he's like, I don't know. I'll get back.
Sean's not on it.
No, he's not.
I'm not on it? Okay. I might be there anyway. Who knows?
Sean's not on it.
I'll pop out. I'm on the bench. Okay. I'm on the bench for the 23rd.
That's fine.
But yeah,
no, good cast. Friday. It's going to be Alex Homiak, John Dick Winters, Alex Stapula,
Amanda Avril.
Amanda Avril, and Alex Homiak. Did I say that?
Yeah, so that's Stapula. Alex Stapula.
Alex Stapula said that.
Shannon Norman.
You did A names.
And?
Yeah.
A lot of A's, huh?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And
who am I missing? I feel bad.
You rattled off so many.
It's Sean.
Yeah.
Did I book you for Stand Up Get Down?
No, you didn't.
Well, December 23rd, 8 p.m., The Roast of Ralphie, 10 p.m., Stand Up Get Down at Arcade Comedy Theater. Other than that, I mean, I'm at the Pittsburgh Improv over New Year's Eve weekend.
Who with?
Josh Wolf.
Yeah, that'll be fun.
Really fun.
Missy, what do you got going on in the coming? You just had a great, I heard you had a great time with your Christmas
I'm
special.
I'm wrapping presents at Macy's. What are you doing?
That was my intro. Let's see, I will be crushing the cookies all week.
Yeah.
So you can see me in my studio apartment.
What's that code word for?
That is on every level of code.
Do you need a backbeat for your announcement?
Sugar for mops? I didn't swear. Anyways, could you?
No.
Give me a beat.
Oh. Jason's ruining it.
Give me a beat, Clyde.
I got the scratch. You son of a bitch.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Everyone, now, you're going to have to give up a fight if you want to see me singing on first night that's happening on New Year's Eve. I'm doing it with myself and my friend named Steve. Just kidding. His name is Connor. We're the funnest in all the land. We sing songs. We make them up. We hold you tight. And then we are called Baby Grand. And guess what? We have a show in January 2. It's with people you love. You know who? Oh, no, the ankles aren't swollen because we are doing a show with Dinner with the Nolans. That's happening.
That's good.
Thank you. So, New Year's Eve, doing music comedy.
People,
100
people turned this podcast off.
Yeah, right. Or they just.
They're like, is that the podcast where that chick was singing her goddamn schedule?
I literally hate you.
Oh,
no. I'm having.
Was that guy whining about his little flighty flight earlier?
This is happening. Going right to insulting
this
me.
This is happening.
I was the one beatboxing for your thing. I'm kidding.
I was one.
I'm ripping on people that would be hating on you.
There you go. He got my back.
Yeah. Okay, but let's talk about how you just went straight at me.
What? Yawning.
Jason and I are gonna go get a beer. We'll
be back. We'll
be back.
We supposed to be family.
Girl, we're family. I'm
and you're
sorry.
Like,
come
what about
hug
you
me.
With your tired ass face? Look at your tight ass jeans.
I'm like, no, I don't got Excedrin. Quit asking me, psych.
With your dirty ass shoes.
Shut up. Were you mowing lawns earlier? No.
Sean, what do you got going on?
We'll finish your plug.
Okay,
God, you're not finished?
It was just first night. The 7th.
River
come
Remix.
See us too. Anyways, we're doing Dinner with the Nolans.
You're doing Dinner with
the
Nolans. On what
day?
The first Saturday. Yes, the first Saturday. Every first Saturday, Dinner with the Nolans. Always a good time.
And then I want to plug one more quick thing, just in case
Please.
I don't see you. The 21st, I'm doing this awesome thing called Confidential Musical, which is a musical that you show up, you don't know what it is, and then we perform it. We get no rehearsal.
Isn't it? improvised? I mean, that's
no,
what
it's not improvised.
Know.
It's an actual show. This isn't an arcade.
Say it was Jesus Christ Superstar. It's not. Missy would get a note that's like, "You're playing Jesus. Oh. Here are the songs.
Get them ready
in
advance
and show up ready to go." She doesn't know who she's performing with.
I don't have no blocking, no anything. It's the actual show.
Nice. Yes. Mm-hmm.
I can't say what that show is, but it's going to be super exciting.
I've heard about it. It's great.
Yeah, I'm so glad to be a part of it.
And maybe you don't want to see Missy on First Night. Maybe you don't. Maybe you want to see me instead. How about that?
Oh, fair enough.
No, I'm sure you can do both. I will be doing two shows downtown on First Night with the drinking partners, Ed Bailey and Dave Bracey.
Whoa, triple podcast happening right now.
I know.
By the way, they're in the next room.
Yeah, they're just sitting
having
in the
a
next
meeting.
Room.
Are they drinking?
Well,
no, one would assume.
I assume they are partners of drinking.
But yeah, that's First Night downtown. I'm sure you can do that. You can probably do that and see Missy. And Ed and Day and I are alternating with a bunch of groups from Arcade Comedy Theater and all around town. Life the Musical is down there. Warp Zone is down there. There's so much comedy happening downtown on New Year's Eve. So come on down. Ignore the fireworks. You've seen it.
They're all the same. They're the same.
Watch comedy.
Yeah, that's not the same.
And Jason, where will you be that's not related to Aaron Kleiber?
Jeff Conkle is who we forgot about the stand-up get down.
Jeff Conkle makes his return.
You forgot which. That's why you keep asking me. You're like, a white guy from DVE is on the show.
who's not in the race of the coffin.
Mike is on stand-up get down.
Yeah. Yeah. But no, I'll be at the Arcade Comedy Theater the night of First Night. So it's going to be a big night all around for all of us. So if you can see Sean, hop over, see Missy, swing over and see me. And then Aaron, you're across the river.
You can see me on the 30th.
Yeah.
We're everywhere.
I'm at the Improv on the 30th. The 29th and the 30th.
Make it a comedy weekend.
Yeah.
And while you're driving to those shows, listen to shows from the Epicast Network, like this one.
Hey, yo, I'm Ed Bailey. I'm here with
Dave Bracey.
And we are the Drinking Partners Podcast on Epicast Network. Fucked it up. Make sure you check us out, man. We got the Comedy Fuel, which is really supposed to be Beer Fuel Comedy Podcast, but...
Craft Fuel Beer Potter. Craft Fuel... Craft Beer Fuel Pot... Motherfucker, all right. Man. I'm going to have to write that down.
Craft Fuel Beer Podcast.
Yeah, Craft Fuel...
Craft Brew Fuel Comedy. Those are not four words that you say normally. All right. Craft Brew, you knew that I was going to fuck up. You knew. Craft Beer Fuel Comedy Podcast.
You can find us on epicastnetwork.com/partnerspod. You can find us at partnerspod on Facebook, Twitter, and IG. And you can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, and Libsyn under Drinking Partners.
Yo, if you ain't heard and if you don't know, Drinking Partners is the crew. Epicast is the family. Make sure you check us out, man.
And we're back.
Boom.
With two podcasts at the same time. Missy is, what are you on now? Snapchat?
What are we doing?
Are you still on Snapchat or is this
She's
Instagram?
She's on Rapchat.
I'm on.
Oh. So this is the time, Sean.
Yeah, this is it.
Final spoiler warning. We're going to start spoiling everything. Stop your podcast. If you don't want to hear it, stop it. Stop it now.
Stop it.
Press the thing.
The podcast
delete
if you
the
do
file.
Not want it spoiled.
And go see the goddamn movie.
See the movie. It's a good, that's the final note before we spoil. It's good. Go see it.
Go see it if you have to.
Yeah, you should.
All right, everyone's gone.
Don't take your 3-year-olds.
No. Everyone's gone. Who doesn't want to spoil? Everybody.
This is when we're going
Ready to
spoil
spoiler music?
The film Rogue One.
So Han Solo dies at the end. Wait.
Oh, you son of a bitch.
Sean is now the son of a bitch.
Son of a bitch of the week. Here we go.
You know why you weren't bothered by Grand Moff Tarkin's CGI face?
That's what we're talking about.
Is because I warned you. That's why I warned you.
Well, when you told me, I was like, oh, wow, okay.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, but then when I saw it, I was like, that's not bad.
That's not bad at all.
That's exactly why I did it, because I set it up worse than it was, so it wouldn't bother you. You're welcome.
Oh, that is the the sweetie
I thought
pie
it was
movie.
Pretty
best friend
good.
Stuff right there. Well, I mean, setting you up for the fall. I mean,
I thought it was pretty good.
I thought it was impressive. Like, I knew nothing, like I said, and I walked away going, what the hell did I just see? Like, how did that
you
happen?
You said it was kind of like, what did you say it was like?
I felt like I was watching Roger Rabbit. No. I swear to God. I was watching a man talking to a cartoon character.
I think you're way off.
Yeah.
That was really good.
It was fine. I'm like, why did you give him so much screen time? I think it would have been so much better
if
they
Sean
just used
him
sparingly. He had like long ass scenes, and I'm like, okay.
Well, and Sean and I talked
about
this too. Like, you recast Mon Mothma.
Yes.
Like, you can't.
You can't get it close.
Old guy?
You can't get it close.
But I mean, he is very distinctive looking.
It was good, but I'm his saying sunken it just, they cheeks. Utilized it too much. So then I was staring and making like complaining about it in my head.
I wasn't complaining. I was definitely analyzing it every time he was
on
the screen.
And it's like that's what takes you out. It's not that you're like, oh, like you are when Jar Jar farts. That's like a different
But
type.
It was good.
Or whoever farted.
He was fine. He was good.
It
was fine, but no.
I mean, for you to say it took you out of it, that's
it
a little much.
It completely broke the spell of the movie for me. Because I was just thinking like, oh God, it's not, the technology's not there yet. But it's weird how divisive
it's
this
close.
Is.
It's close.
It's close, but it's not. I don't think it's there. I was after. That's a plug. Listen to the next episode of Knights of the Arcade podcast because I'll be on that one. After that, I went out and was talking to people. And who was I talking? I was sitting across the table from Brad Stevenson, who said that looked great. And sitting next to him was our friend Christine Starkey, who said, I hated it. It pulled me completely out of the movie.
And here's the thing. It's not going to last the test of time with as technology keeps advancing. Yeah. So it was like, cool, guys. I just think they overused it. So now it's going to... It has now...
That's a good point.
I was
very surprised how much he was in it.
6 years. It might look shittier in 6 years when stuff is even better. You know?
Yeah, there's something weird about... I know this actor has been dead for 22 years.
Yeah.
And he's a major character in this movie. And someone else is credited
because
there was somebody standing there.
Yeah, and that's where the challenge is right now, is what you'll start reading about this online, is what is the future?
Right.
Like, are we staring down at how many years from now are they going to be saying, oh, it's less expensive
to
do
John
this
Wayne.
than to actually use...
We did talk about this a while ago.
That's starting to get scary.
We did talk about this. Was it... I can't remember what it was, but we were like, it's going to be cheaper to just make animated films and use voice actors.
Yeah.
That's nasty. What are they going to do, a Gene Kelly movie, and it just be like
it's going to be all
some dude and they superimpose his face on? I'm like, come on.
Yes.
No.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's what we're talking about.
That's horrifying.
Yeah. I think it when it's time, they will start putting dead actors back in movies.
Yes.
Well, no, even before, I mean, the technology wasn't there yet. There was a movie that no one saw called Sky Captain and the World of Tomorrow.
I remember that. Gwyneth Paltrow.
And, what's his name? Laurence Olivier is credited in that movie because they made it work because it was like a computer. It was like almost a Wizard of Oz projection face, and they like voice boxed his voice.
Yeah.
And they credited him.
Yeah.
70 years after he died.
So there is something within. I was reading within the United States as far as the legal way that can be done, but he was not from the United States, so there was no precedent as far as what they can and can't do.
Podcast.
But they did reach out to the family and get ultimate approval, and they loved it. Like, his family absolutely loved it. They thought it looked incredible, and they felt that
Grand Moff Tarkin.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Huh.
Oh, Governor Tarkin.
Well, they're not
Governor
gonna
Tarkin
shit on it because their family. I don't know.
He didn't win the Moff election.
They got
yet.
Paid, probably.
Probably.
Yeah. Oh,
probably.
Hell yeah. Who knows?
Well, the likeness is the likeness. I mean, you have to.
His estate probably got paid.
Oh yeah. Oh sure. Yeah. Legal or not legal, you take care of. You grease that palm. You take care of that. You do it on the backside if you have to, Aaron Kleiber.
Yeah.
The Leia face.
The backside of
my God.
Okay.
Didn't bother me.
You just blew right into that spoiler.
Yeah. Right to.
Were you on the CG face train?
Well, yeah, we're on the CG face train.
I think they used.
I was last night too.
That they just touched up.
Uh,
It looks
no, a girl's
like
no. credited of
yeah,
playing
she,
her.
Yeah, she. Yeah.
Really?
Yes. Yep. Yes. Because they're discussing well, now the possibility of her coming back in another movie, yeah. possibly.
Well,
in that role.
I'll tell you right now. Since we're on the late. The last 15 minutes of that movie.
Best part of the movie.
I could not breathe.
Oh, yeah. My God.
I had chills.
It was everything
I
wanted.
I was just like, oh, my God.
When yes. when Vader goes like video game mode
God
down the hallway.
Holy
well, let's,
so
can
good.
We just,
that would have been like 20 more minutes.
It's just great I mean, that it was like, yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's yes. what he does.
That's
yes,
what he
exactly.
does.
So let's, can we talk about yes. Vader? I mean, because that's like my drive. I mean, Vader, the whole idea of Vader and seeing him in two different states. You've seen him in the Hayden Christensen cut off arms and legs
yeah, yeah.
in the tube.
Yeah.
Like a quick shot. It's a quick shot. You know it's there. You walk in the Imperial Guards there.
Oh, him in the back of the tank.
Yeah, he's in the back of the tank.
Yeah.
And you get the quick shot, just the side of his
yeah,
face.
Yeah.
He's got the breathing apparatus. And then the next time you see is it opening up the steam and he walks out
yeah.
and it's good. And
which,
it's,
yeah. by the way, a little much.
I know. I actually was
like it was
why
like
do
Aerosmith
we...
was coming out.
Oh my God. No, that
like,
was,
I was
amazing.
Like, but I honestly thought this is a prepare a little grown dad moment. I'm sitting there go, what the hell do they have in there that's doing all this? I was like, what is going on in the damn Death Star?
Yeah, I agree.
Where
they...
fog is pouring out like, yeah. like, freaking
yeah, but you go back. I mean, you see
someone's
that
dryer is going
yeah.
out of control. Someone's admit, basement dryer is going out of control
I
downtown.
Thought, like,
I'll admit it. It was, you know, when they replaced the orchestral score with Rainbow in the Dark for him to walk out. it was a little over the top.
I mean, it was a little. I was like,
where's lightning?
No, did they unleash him to have a conversation?
Yeah.
I was like,
yeah.
And
oh,
then
on.
It was a long, like, I'm going to talk war. And, like, Chris Prexta, who I was with, who's our BFF here, was like, brought up a good point of like, that was never Darth's most exciting things about him. Like, you own the mother, I want to swear so bad, but I won't. Okay. The mother effing force. Like, you are the dark side. So we want to see you crush
no.
it. We don't want to hear
that
your,
dude.
Like, what are your war strategies
well, you know
and which
what?
Ship are you sending
I will
for
counter
a long
that
time.
With saying he was like a general as a Jedi. I mean, like,
but we have enough people talking that
he was
stuff.
A commander.
When he, like, we all just literally flip the table when we
well,
talk
I mean,
about
I
his.
Yeah,
writing.
But you can't have him straight up crushing every time he's on screen.
No,
I mean,
I think he. It makes sense that Vader has a say in the war plan.
Yes,
yeah.
But we don't need a 20-minute scene of him like pacing around.
It was a little long. It was a little long.
A little long.
Scene.
Yeah,
the
I was,
death grip.
I do
then
remember
when he
thinking
the, death, the throat grip. Then I'm like, thank you. Yes,
I remember
more
thinking,
of that.
Wow, he's talking for a while.
Yes.
Yeah,
like he's having a conversation.
I just fanboy over Darth Vader, and
oh, totally.
I am.
Yeah. I'm being
I can never. I can't pick
I
it apart.
I see what you're saying. Because I did think, I was like, wow, this is like a full-on Darth Vader conversation. This is weird.
And, by the way, the first time in a Star Wars movie that someone stood on a long plank with no railings and
didn't
die.
Yeah. Ooh, that is
good
nice.
On, yeah. yeah. That was refreshing. But,
so that's pretty much all we, I mean.
Yeah, well, Darth
after
Vader
that
saber, that was
what do we
the
talk
damn.
About?
Well, I while we're spoiling
oh, yeah,
everything.
There's a couple things.
I really love that everybody died.
Yes.
Me too.
I really love that.
Like, that yeah, and that gets into the other thing with the kids.
Yeah.
Is that everyone dies.
But they have to like, because they're not in anything else. So
right.
I actually forgot that. So at one point, I was, okay, from the point where the Jin saves the little girl in the war torn
right,
area.
Right.
From that point on, I was like a done person. Then I was, every time someone sacrificed themselves, I was like weeping because
yeah,
I could only
yeah.
see Syria. I could only see like
well,
the possibility
was,
of Donald Trump.
It was
world.
Also interesting.
So then I looked at Chris and I was like, wait, are they dying?
Yeah.
He's like, no, they all die. And I was
yeah.
like, what? And then
I just kept hearing that quote from Mon Mothma in A New Hope that a lot of rebel of good rebel soldiers died to get these.
Yes.
I just got the chills,
yes.
and it really was.
It
yes.
was.
I mean, that's what the movie was about.
Oh
Mon Mothma's statement in A New Hope.
Yes.
There you go.
Like that's like what it is, and they straight up died, like all of them.
But even you know, knowing that a franchise. That's what I said in the non-spoiler part. I like that it has a beginning, middle, and end. That. This is a movie that is unafraid to do that. That isn't like, yeah. oh, we're going to keep one. Like, fucking Batman and Superman. Superman's dead.
Maybe
no, he's not. Not. Yeah, yeah. No, that it's that they were like, look, this is what this movie is about.
Yep.
We're going to kill all these. And even if it had been Lucas, you know, if it had been Lucas 15 years ago, Jin would have survived, yes, and he would have digitally inserted her into A New, yeah, Hope in the background of some scene. It's
oh, you're absolutely right.
Yeah. So the fact that...
Oh, God, you're so right.
Right? So
we're
mad
about something that didn't happen.
Like they would have been on the beach and, you know, and then...
C-3PO and R2-D2 would have swooped in, pulled
you.
Them out.
In an escape pod. Yeah. Like, we have channel.
Or they would have been covered by, like, coconut leaves and been like, oh, we made it.
Oh, by the way, that C-3PO cameo was dumb.
Yeah.
I like it.
It was really forced.
It's just a walkthrough, and all of a sudden they're there. Yeah, I agree.
I'm with same on. It same was with, a little forced.
Same with the like, dudes hey. From the cantina.
Yes.
That was
that was forced, but I loved
forced.
It.
Yeah. I thought that was better than R2-D2 and C-3PO. I thought that was like, I was like, what? Well, the fuck?
That was one of my, I mean, everyone got so excited, you know, Force Awakens, and a lot of it was about seeing those people from when we were kids. That was the one thing that I was just like, oh, we're all clapping for Chewbacca. I don't give a shit. I want to see a good movie.
Yeah.
I can, you know, that was my thing with Force Awakens that I didn't want to see in this movie. So that was the one scene that was just like, get that the hell out of here. That
well,
was
Well, I just
gone.
Read something today, and I've been posting a lot of Rogue One articles and different stuff on Handle the Truth Facebook page.
Yes.
There's one thing where they talked to Gareth Edwards, right?
Yeah.
We haven't mentioned him yet, but he did a great job.
Yeah, the director. Well, when he was released, we talked about some of the movies that he's done. And
Godzilla, the 2014.
He did Godzilla,
Godzilla.
And before that, he did a movie called Monsters.
Mm-hmm.
Really awesome sci-fi movies. But he took footage. This is so cool.
It's so cool.
The Rogue One leader or the leaders.
Yeah. The red leader. And gold
leader.
The story's unbelievable.
Yeah. So he went to Skywalker Ranch, was working, doing research, blah, blah, blah. They have all these old film cans, and he's like, what's that? They're like, oh.
Star Wars.
Deleted footage from A New Hope.
Yeah.
And he went through, and he found footage of the pilots of X-Wings.
The red and gold leaders.
Yeah,
that were not in the movie.
And it was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Cut it and paste it and put it.
Yeah.
And he adjusted the script to make sense, their dialogue and stuff.
And by the way, the dog fighting scenes were great.
Dude, that really made good. Me, Sean and I always bitch and complain about 3D because it's almost never needed.
Oh, yeah.
But when I saw this, I was like, you know what? I think I'm going to see it again in 3D.
And soon as
IMAX, those space battles.
When they released those TIE fighters and all those TIE fighters can fly out, I turned to Johnny and I was like, I need to see this in 3D.
Yeah.
Dude, and when they're like making those bombing runs on the shield.
Oh man.
And all of the hyperspace stuff, like how they would just be like immediately there.
Dude,
I still, to this day, nobody
can touch Star Wars space battles.
Yeah.
I mean,
literally Star Wars. Boom!
I mean,
you all nailed it.
They were. I was speechless. Yeah. Like I am right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's a pretty good movie.
Can we go into? Okay, so we just talked about like the war torn, all that stuff.
Yeah.
The emotional journey was also unbelievable. Jin's father.
Yeah.
That whole. The opening whole setting up the thing.
Yeah.
And it's not
wow.
just her story, I agree, which I love that. They didn't like hijack it to be like that, but Cassian, no, is that him? Who's the dad? I'm trying to look him up.
No.
Erso, something Erso. Mm.
Oh my
Galen
God, Galen
Erso.
Mads Mikkelsen, hello. Like he's
good.
So great. And just watching, which is a lovely though, like parallel to what we constantly see in this universe. Like, people having to pick up the line of their father's work. Like, I love that.
I don't think it's his fault as an actor. It was a little weak when his wife died. His wife just got straight up murdered in front of him, and he was like, "Oh,
no,
man.
He didn't do it that matter."
He was like, "Oh boy." Oh,
no, you are like turning into.
I'm sorry.
Elmer's
I mean,
Fudd.
You
no.
watch any movie where someone's wife is murdered in front of them.
There's
and like,
no fight back.
Yeah,
there's
but if
nothing.
He would have did that. They're gonna kill the girl. Kill the daughter.
She was.
Kill
they
him.
Were looking
Why?
For her anyways.
Yeah,
I mean,
they
went
were
after her
anyway. They were going to kill her anyway.
Then Forrest Whitaker showed up. What's up?
Okay.
But, like, he was just like, oh, man, and, like, went and held her head. I was like, what the heck? Like, he wasn't, like...
I don't know.
He wasn't, like... I was... Why wasn't he, like, hysterical?
Because that's not him as a person. Like, I don't know. That's just, like, a... You don't see him outbreak like that at all in the, thing.
That threw me off. I was just like...
Maybe.
As soon as it happened, I go, why doesn't he give a shit? Like, why doesn't he care that his wife just got murdered in front of him?
I don't know.
Like, and they were just like,
I don't
do
need
it.
To see
boom,
melodrama at the top of this movie either. Like, it's at the very top.
I do. I think he should have been hysterical. It would have made it even more emotional.
By the way, listen for my new podcast. I make Aaron and Missy argue about things because it's kind of my favorite thing.
Yeah, you do.
Kind of my favorite thing to do.
Well, I don't want to. I don't need to see like and like some insane thing. But never, we're like still discovering what's happening.
You needed
more scary.
Something more than what they gave you.
Maybe I guess
in
I have
a
to
moment
re-see
of
it
like,
to
yeah,
give you a
yeah.
Thought.
It was. I was. If you see, if you pay attention to it again, I'm telling you, it was right, like yeah. It was weird.
Yeah.
Well, because then
it was almost like the first take they
anger.
Did. Can we? They used the first take.
Moving on now. That moving on.
All right, check the gates. Moving on.
Craft table set up. We gotta go. Okay, fine. But can we all just agree and hug on the fact that, like, holy shit, we waited all of these decades to find out that it wasn't just like, oops, the Death Star's terrible.
Right. Yeah, we
it
have
is
one
this
little...
motherfucker's plan. Like, how perfect is that?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's
now,
I
the
mean,
plot. The plot for the story was
how
was
it
wonderful.
Tied in was spectacular
and jumped I mean, you to the next yeah. and the tie into the next movie. Was
so
we got to start wrapping it up so that Aaron can order his fried zucchini at Pleasure Bar.
Oh,
I got more work to do today. I'm not going home.
Man. No, he's a busy guy.
Plus, we don't want to bore you guys.
Yeah.
That's true.
Because me and Missy will just sit here and
talk Star Wars for the next 14
drunk
hours.
Cantina people. And then start naming them and giving them fake backgrounds and family members. I think one of the things I was going to say is that, so what's coming next?
Episode 8?
Yeah, episode 8's next.
Yes. So it's a continuation of where Force Awakens, which I was going to say, the thing that I love about this, you've said it several times, Sean, like I also cannot get over the fact that they did such a stellar job of grabbing you real quick with characters we didn't know, but we knew what they did. Whereas people are giving Force Awakens a tough time, but it's like we're introduced to two new people that have to take us. Yeah. So they're building slower like they did with A New Hope because they know we really have to show you Finn. We really have to show you Rey. We really have to show you BB-8. With this one, they were like quick setups, and then we know we have to let them go. So people are harder on Force Awakens, and we had to have the old crew to kind of do that segue of like, this is now their story, that, and we're like the old people part of it. So this one, and we know we have to let it go. So we have less stakes involved, where with Force Awakens, we're like, oh shit, this is our next
I'm just hoping that the next, stuff. I'm hoping that the next one actually is a different story than the one we got already.
Well, that's what I was going to bring into.
So
there's
you gave
rumors.
Me the setup. Now go.
They're already saying that Donald Glover is cast as young Lando Calrissian. And that's for episode 8.
Yeah.
And then the Han Solo. Solo standalone, which is 2 years from now.
Right. Han Solo.
That's
they have
what
not,
Donald Glover is for. Is for Han Solo.
But they have not said who is young Han Solo yet.
Yes.
Did they?
They have. I've
seen
pictures.
Well, Sean will look that up. He's good at quick at that. But also, there are rumors about, did you hear about the rumors about the Boba Fett movie?
Yes.
Wow.
Boba Fett up until he turns in Han Solo to Jabba the Hutt.
We are in for some podcast
It's basically everything you haven't seen from Boba Fett. I've read a couple things that they said with the expanded universe of Boba Fett and the comic books. You really could have a trilogy of Boba Fett movies.
Yeah.
You really could. And at this point, with Marvel Disney, they don't give a shit.
They don't care because people will come. Did you hear the one where it's going to be Princess Leia trying on different bikinis for 2 hours until they pick the one? I am so excited.
I know. She's going to be trying on space bikinis. We don't go. Wunga wa. We get a wunga.
She's like, El push-up bra.
Jabba the Hutt's just, no.
And then you hear a slapping green skin. Wunga wa wa.
Is it really? Because he would be perfect.
Is young Han Solo?
Is that confirmed?
Jason is on InfoWars.
Oh my God, they are.
We just lost 8 listeners.
Thank you. Well, here's the thing.
Hollywood Reporter. Yeah.
Alden Ehrenreich.
Yeah.
who you remember as the cowboy in Hail Caesar, the young cowboy guy.
Yeah, really
and,
good.
And
that.
Was just in Rules Don't Apply,
right?
Which no one should see, but he was fine. He looks right. He has the charisma. Oh, he's got that old Hollywood
that's
look.
That's what you need.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Charisma.
Like, no, he's a good choice.
And I'm really looking forward to this. From what I've heard about the young Han Solo is that I guess they're going to try to follow the vision of George Lucas of it being this like a swashbuckling kind of tale.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, because George Lucas was really inspired by those swashbuckling movies of the 30s and 40s and that's where that character of Han Solo comes from.
Errol Morris.
What's that?
No, that's a
Errol Flynn.
Errol Flynn.
Errol Flynn.
Errol Morris and made also, the documentaries.
And also, oh my gosh, the comic book hero. Where's Chris Braxton when I need him?
I know.
They're making a movie of it. The guy in the jungle.
Tarzan?
No. The scientist in the jungle.
Dr. Livingstone, I presume?
Damn it!
Nope, I don't know. We're not.
Savage.
Not
this is Savage. Ben Savage.
Dr.
Savage.
I don't know what that is.
Dr. Savage.
I don't know what that
Dr. is. Dr. Savage is an old comic book. It's like it's basically kind of what Indiana Jones was ripped off of. Dr. Savage is like a scientist in like the 30s, 40s. You know, they're making a Doc Savage movie. It's going to be The Rock. It's going to be Dwayne Johnson. Yeah, he's going to be playing Doc Savage.
Final thoughts and a rating, Jason Clark.
Absolutely enjoyed it. Was entertained from start to finish. It tied together everything that I would want. And I give it a 9.
Aaron.
I'm going to give it a... you gave it a 9.
I loved it. I'm not a critical individual. That's why I'm not on movie review podcasts often.
Yeah, I'm gonna
is that
also,
a burn
I'm
to some of us
a,
in this
I'm
going to
get a 9.5.
A what?
9.5.
A 9.5.
Wait, I thought that he was coming down on me for the 9.
I thought,
didn't you?
I thought
he was
low.
Coming 7.
Yeah.
No. I'll do 9.5.
Wow.
I enjoyed it very much. So
good.
Missy,
I won't give it a 10 though.
Missy Marino.
I'm gonna go 9.8. For real. I
but bish
you crazy.
Bish
I'm
you
gonna
cray.
Give it $1, psych. No, I loved it. I thought, the aesthetic. I love Jin. I love her storyline. I love the like sad moments on the beach. I love the seeing the sacrifices. It's so silly, but it made me feel like I'm grateful for our armed services for United States. Like,
wow.
I just
enjoyed my popcorn and had a fun time.
How do we
time.
Not mention no, but, Forrest Whitaker?
Well, I was going to say
oh,
that,
God.
But I...
Because he wasn't that good.
Yeah.
It was...
That's how we did it.
That's the action figure I want,
was,
though.
So, no, he was sleepwalking.
It was a wonderful...
Cashing a check.
It was a wonderful demonstration of, like, what true sacrifice He's for okay. the greater good is. And I just... was weeping mess over that. And it set up A New Hope. I'm more grateful for A New Hope now.
Oh, my God. I could watch that final 10 minutes
yes.
and
I know.
Over.
Yes. Yeah, I'm picking things to be critical of just to have something to talk about.
Exactly.
I also give it a 9. It's, I mean, a 9. I don't give no figure skating scores.
Like, I do. I give it halves.
I pick an integer.
When I think it deserves more
All right,
than a
I'll
9,
give it
a 10
if you want me to round up.
Okay.
I would give it a 10.
I
love it.
I'm going to give it a 9. It's a good time. It's very, very enjoyable.
I can't wait to see it again.
And it's just different enough
3D.
From the main series that I think it stands on its own just fine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, totally.
So, Missy, take us out with The Force Awakens. No, that's not the movie we're talking about.
All right.
The Rogue
the
One.
The Force Awakens.
The Rogue One rap.
All right. Listen up. You're not gonna wanna have to drink any vodka. You just wanna soak up that gin. Oh, everybody here is looking all crazy. I wanna put a tattoo of it on my skin. It's good. It's cool. The robot is funny. I wish he would make me his honey. But honey, you will have so much fun. So you should go out and see that crazy Rogue One in 3D.
Thanks for listening to You Can't Handle the Truth. Find your hosts on Twitter
at Sean Collier, PGH,
and at Aaron Kleiber. That's Kleiber, Kleiber. And follow us at Epicast TV. Head to www.epicast.tv for more great podcasts on the Epicast Network. You can email feedback to handlethetruthpodcast@gmail.com.